Morning, Gail. How are you?
Good to see you.
And on the other hand is morose and sad. So simcha is there in the middle range, the positive sense of life, self, joy, feelings of happiness. That's right where simcha aligns itself. Another important thing to remember here in the Rambam is that these midos are ongoing. Sometimes we think about simcha as something that happens in our life. Like we go to a simcha, we go to a chasana, we go to a siyum, we go to a bris. We're at a simcha. So it's a highlight period of time. But what the Rambam is talking about here is day to day. He doesn't mean attending a simcha, but the feeling that we have inside of ourselves on a day-to-day basis of joy in life. We use the term simchas achaim often, which I think is much more close to what the Rambam is talking about here. It's the day-to-day attitude of life. Doesn't mean a person can't have ups and downs in life. We all do. We have happier times. We have sadder times. But if we were to say, what are we shooting for our day-to-day predominant way of being? Simcha. Joy in life. And oftentimes that's internal. Kach amru chachamim, as the chachamim said, sechok v'kalus rosh margili nasa adam la'erva. Too much lightheadedness and giddiness brings a person to erva, because people's boundaries go down and there's just a sense of too much lightheadedness. They're not being careful. They lose their boundaries and that leads to erva. V'tzivu, shelo yehe adam parutz bitzachok. Now the Rambam defined this a little more carefully. One should not be bursting forth with laughter, meaning on a regular basis. Doesn't mean you can't have a good laugh here and there with a nice joke in a funny situation. But it means on a regular basis not to be bursting forth with laughter. V'lo atze v'mis abel. And not sad and mourning and grieving. Ella mekabel eskol ha'adam b'sever panim yafos. You recognize that from Pirkei Avos. To receive all people with a pleasant countenance. So once again, this is talking about the day-to-day. We're exchanging greetings with somebody. You see somebody at the store, in class. Your kids come in the door, whatever it might be. Sever panim yafos. We're having a demeanor which reflects positiveness and joy. You know who said, Mekabel kol adam b'sever panim yafos? Shammai. People would say Hillel, right? Because that's how we visualize Hillel. And he embodied this mitzvah. But interestingly enough, the Tana who said this in Pirkei Avos was Shammai. So we probably have a wrong idea. Shammai we view as very strict, and he often expresses strictness in the Gemara, but as a person, if you meet him, l'chora, you'd see somebody who have sefer panim yafos. He'd be following his own dictum. V'chein, similarly, now he's going to go on to a different mida. This one was more about simcha, and I'm just going to pause a minute because, Sarah, I apologize, I lost the card. So please tell me the name of your mother, Allah Shalom, so we can...
Miriam Bas Velva.
Miriam Bas Velva, and the Shama Shavan Aliyah. And the class, the shir, is dedicated in her memory by our dear friend Sarah Bernard. Okay, so that was on the simcha note. Now a different mida. I'm going to call this appetite, but it doesn't really mean appetite for food. It means more so for physical things. V'chein lo yihya ba'al nefesh rechava. A person should not have a nefesh rechava, an expansive need. Neediness, nivhal lahon, just constantly occupied with attaining fortune and material things. So this is a person who's really motivated. They're out there, but they're motivated for materialistic purposes. They have a nefesh rechava. They want everything. Nicest house, nicest car, nicest vacation, nicest everything. That's a nefesh rechava. So the Rambam says that's too far on that extreme. V'lo otzei u'batol m'melacha. And also not just sitting around and not doing any work. Unmotivated person. So they're not really striving for material things. Not because they have goals of simplicity, but because they just sit around and don't do anything. You know, so the Rambam says that could be confused. Oh, that person is very simple, they're very modest. No, what it really is that they have no sense of trying to accomplish something in the world. So those are the two sides. Nefesh Ruchava on one side, Batol Mimalacha on the other side. My Rabbi Zichron Livracha, Rabbi Twersky, when he talked about this concept, he used the word appetites. And it was very striking because he used to say that in our times, people don't have needs anymore. We have appetites. Needs is that you need something. You need food, you need parnasa, you need a roof over your head. Those are needs. An appetite is I want it. You know, I want it badly. So he used to say that we kind of crossed over that line. It's not exactly his lashon, from a need to I have to have it. And that's more so in the realm of nefesh rechava. A need is okay. Have to have it, that's not okay. That can drive a person crazy. Ela ba'al ayin tova, but a person who has an ayin tova, which means mama'ed be'esek ve'osek v'torah, they reduce, I'm going to call it their material pursuits. That's esek. Literally means business, but it doesn't mean literally business here. It means what you do to pursue your material needs. So mamait, you know, keep that at a minimum. Vosek v'torah, and involve yourself with the study of Torah. So the mita tova here, description is ayin tova. The first one was sameach. The second one is ayin tova. We usually think about ayin tova as the way we look at people and the way that we look at the world, trying to see things in a positive way. It's a little different here. This ayin tova means that a person who has a favorable disposition toward their needs and accomplishing them. And you could say that sameach b'chelko is a part of that, it is, but ayin tova is more so of an attitude as to what we need in the world. Yeah, it would be nice to have that, nice to have that, but I'm not going to just let myself get so drawn into it. Ayin tova. Va'oso hama'at. And here he says the second part. And that little bit, shehu chelko, which is our lot in the world, yismach bo, rejoice in it. So interesting, he divides it into two things. First is getting our needs in order and trying to be balanced. And then when we find that place, try and be happy with what you have. Sameach b'chelko. That's going to be different for every person. There are a lot of people who are blessed with a lot of material success. That's their chelek. They should be besimcha with that. That's what Hashem granted them. There are other people who are not blessed with material success. And we should try and strive to be besimcha with that. Now, you know, one might say, it's a lot easier to be sameach b'chelko if you have a lot, right? If I had a lot, I could be sameach b'chelko. So there was an entertainer. You probably know who it is. I can't remember. In the 1970s, and she used to say, "I've been rich and I've been poor, and it's a lot nicer being rich." I think it was Ella Fitzgerald. I think so. I'm not sure. But I want to make a comment about that. Just not get too deep. In my experience, lav davka. Because you meet wealthy people who are not happy. And the wealth didn't do it for them. And either they have other things in their life which they're unhappy about, because everybody has that, rich or poor. Or it's the scenario that the Chachamim describe of Yesh lo mana rotza masayim. Yesh lo masayim rotza arba mea. So you have 100, you want 200. You have 200, you want 400. Rabbi Twersky used to say it doesn't stop at 400. That's just a mita. It keeps going. So you can talk to somebody who's got a lot of money, but they're not happy because they want a lot more. So this mita has to be developed and worked on no matter what a person has in the material sense. Because simply getting more does not help for this mita. Sameach b'chelko is what happens with this mita. On the other side, a person who has less and struggles like many people do, month to month, day to day, can't get by, it's a whole different nisayon to try and be sameach with that chelek. This is what Hashem has given me, trying to come to terms with that. That's a big avoda too. Very different nisyonos, but it comes down to the same thing from different directions. What did Hashem grant me? And how can I find a way to be happy with that? Aviva, please. You talking about Simcha and then Ayin Tov, that one? That one?
Yeah. No, the beginning is somebody should be frivolous and he should be Sameach.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next thing is, well, I guess Sameach.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think that's the thread there. It's two different kinds of Simcha, but one's a state of being, the other is satisfaction with one hand. But they're both related to a Midah of Simcha. Yeah. Very, very good point. It's a good connection. We also see, you know, the shades of meaning in a word in Lashon Kodesh, and how Simcha has different applications and different meanings. It's not just a one-layer, one-dimensional word, as is the case with all of the mitos. Okay, now the next one. V'lo ba'al ketata, v'lo ba'al kina. A person should not be quarrelsome. Ketata means to quarrel, to fight. You know, you meet people out there just looking for a fight. They're trying to argue about something. V'lo ba'al kina, and not jealous. Now, jealousy also is an extension or an associate mita with the lack of being sameach b'chelko. When one is not sameach b'chelko, we tend to put our eyes on other people's things and wish that we had that. V'lo ba'al taiva, and not a person who, again, is too overridden with taiva, with desire. V'lo rodef achar hakavod, and not pursuing honor. Now, these ones the Rambam just states more quickly. The other ones he gave us a few more phrases to describe them, but these are all, in a certain way, I don't want to say self-evident, and that they don't have to be worked on, but we understand what he's talking about. Quarrelsome, jealousy, too much desire, pursuing honor. Pursuing honor could also be perceived as a person who's not sameach b'chelko, that they need the honor in order to fill up that space that they have, that void that they have. Chacham ru chacham, even the chachamim said, hakina v'ataiva v'hakavad motzi nesa adam min ha'olam. Jealousy, desire, and the pursuit of honor take a person out of the world. That's also from Pirkei Avos, and a number of the things the Rambam says here in Hilchos Deos are directly from or related to Pirkei Avos. Klalo shel davar, the general principle is Yelech b'mida habenonis shebuchol deya v'deya. Try and walk in the middle, balanced area of each and every mida. Ad sheyihiyu kol deyosav mechuvanos be'emtzos, until all of our midos are right there in the middle range. V'hu she'shlomo amar, as Shlomo HaMelech said, plas ma'agal raglecha, weigh out the pathway for your feet. Plas is to weigh out. V'chol derechecha yikonu, and establish well all of your ways, all of your derechim in life. So plas, this is a constant effort to weigh out one midos. The word scale and weighing out is often used with midos, because if we visualize that kind of a scale, with this kind, one has two sides to it. So we all know you put something on this side and it goes like that, and then something on the other side and it goes like that. And that's how life is. It's not the kind of scale that you step on and shows the numbers, right? That's scary in its own way, I know, right? But this one is this kind of scale. And every day in life, things are going to go on that side. Things are going to go on that side, both externally and internally. And it's constantly doing this. We're constantly doing this to try and get ourselves in this balanced place, we don't reach this place of simcha or ayin tov and sit there. Because something's going to do this in our life. Inside or outside, that's going to happen. Now we have to recalibrate, recalculate, as we hear so many times now from the GPS, and we have to make another step in this direction or that direction. I want to share with you a beautiful word I heard from Rabbi Shlomo Porter, my dear friend, about his Rebbe, the Milwaukee Rebbe, who was my Rebbe's father, Rabbi Yaakov Yisrael Twersky. Rabbi Porter grew up in Milwaukee. And it's on this avos of hakina, v'hataiva, v'hakavad, motzina, so'adamina olam. All right, so we know the pshat, that these three things can take a person out of reality. If we're too swept up by jealousy, desire, kavod, it just takes you right out of the world. We're no longer thinking straight anymore. So Rabbi Porter told me that when he and his wife were first married, that they went for a visit to his Rebbe, the Milwaukee Rebbe, to see him, to get a bracha from him. And the Milwaukee Rebbe told him the following about what kind of home they should strive to build, their own bayis ne'eman b'yisroel. So he quoted this avos, and he said to them, "Hakina v'ataiva v'hakavod motzina so'ada min ha'olam." Said, so try and have the kind of home which is so beautiful that a person who is not familiar with our way of life will be jealous of your home. Meaning, I'd like that kind of a home. Try and have the kind of life where a person who's not familiar with the Torah will have a desire for that kind of home. Try and show the kind of kavod for each other in your home, mutual respect, where a person who doesn't have that will see that and say, I want that in my home too. Hakina v'hataiva v'hakavod. That kind of kina, taiva, and kavod will take the other person out. Motzi'in es ha'adam min ha'olam, from his world, because he wants to have your world.
That's cute.
So set up a home which allows someone else to say, wow, I'd love to have that kind of a home.
And they did it.
Pardon me? Yeah, I think they did that, right? They sure did. Many, many people have been in the Porter home over the years and been affected by that beautiful atmosphere. Of course, it never means that we're trying to imitate people, become somebody else. It means we're creating it in our own way, according to who we are. But what a beautiful pshat in Pirkei Avos. This is actually written down in the Sefer from Rabbi Twersky Zatzal. And I happened to see Rabbi Porter just a Shabbos or two ago at a Shabbos table, and he said over this board. So it was on my mind, and I'm glad that we were able to get it right here. Any questions or comments so far? Okay, go on to the next parak. Parak Yomo. Shema Yomar Ha'od, maybe a person would say, Hovo v'akino v'ataiva v'akavur ki yotze bohem derech ra'a. Pain. Being that these bad midos, jealousy, the pursuit of honor, too much desire, that they're not good, umotzin es ha'ad amina olam, and they take a person out of reality. Efrosh mehen biyoser v'esrachek litzado acharon. So a person's going to say, I'm just going to stay away from these things completely. I'm going to go retreat all the way back from kina. So they're looking at how negative these things can be and say, I need a full retreat from that. Ad shelo yochal basar, so they decide that they're not going to eat meat anymore. I know that's a big sensitive topic nowadays. Velo yishta yayin, they're not going to drink wine anymore. Velo yisa isha, they're not going to marry a wife. They're going to live a celibate life. Velo yeshev bedira na'a, that they're not going to live in a nice home. Velo yobash malbush na'a, they won't wear nice clothing. Elahasak v'hatsemer hakasha, they're going to dress themselves in this rough wool, almost like a burlap type of feel on your skin. Ukiyotse bohen, and similar things. Kagon kohane ha'ovde kohavim, like the priests of the heathen nations. So they used to practice asceticism in many religions. The priests are the ones who deprive themselves of everything, and they live this very deprived life. Gamze derech ra'ahiva asr leilechba. The Rambam says this is also a harmful path. We are prohibited as Jews from walking in this path. That's not what life was meant to be, with living in a state of deprivation. Hamahalich bederech zu nikra chote. Person who chooses this path to walk in life, they're called a chote. They are transgressing. Shaharehu omer benazir. So how do we know this principle from? This is a chazal. We know it from Nazir. A person takes a vow to be a Nazir. There's also a Nizira. A woman can become a Nazir too. It's not restricted to men, even though it's talked about in men, because that was more common. So they make a vow. They can't eat any kind of grape product. And they can't cut their hair. And they can't go to funerals, etc. So it says about a Nazir, after they're done with their Nazir service, which is a minimum of 30 days. It can be longer than that, but the minimum nazirus, stam nazirus, is shloshim yom. So it says, v'chiper olav me'asher chota al ha'nefesh, that this nazir person has to have atonement in that he sinned on himself, on his own nefesh. What's his sin? He's just trying to be a better person. Amru chachamim, the chachamim say, Uma im nazir, just as a nazir, shelo pirish, turning the page there, page 26, ela min hayayin, all he did was separate himself from wine. Sorich kapora, he has to have a kapora, because he's not enjoying something Hashem gave him in the world to enjoy. He needs kapora for that. Hamoneya atzmo mikol davar v'davar lachas kama v'kama. A person who restrains themselves from all kinds of things in the world that are nice and pleasant, Allah has kama v'kama, all the more so that they're called a chote. So it's interesting, the Rambam doesn't just say that that's a bad path, it's a negative thing. Chote, tzvamash and aveira, to do this, and we learn it out from Nazir because he needs kapara, a person who is ascetic in all walks of life. That's a major flaw in their appreciation of the world that Hashem has given them. Lefikach, therefore, tzivu chachamim, the chachamim said, shelo yimna odam atzmo ela midvarim shemina oso hatorah bilvad. Now this is the general principle. One should not hold themselves back except for those things that the Torah itself holds us back from. The Torah already has a whole list of things that we cannot do. They're called the 365 losas, says in the Torah, shesol losas. It's a lot, and there are many extensions of them too. Plus, you have a lot of yisurim derabanan that we're not allowed to do. So that's enough. The Rambam says you don't need to add to the list. That's plenty. That's plenty to be monea from. V'lo yehe zentai oser atzmo b'nedarim b'shvuos. Al-Devorim Hamutorim, and do not make vows and oaths to prohibit for ourselves permitted things. Kach Amru Chachamim. And this is how the Chachamim said it. Lo Dayecha Masha Asra Torah. Is it not enough that which the Torah prohibited? El Asha'ata Oser Alecha Devorim Acherim, that you have to prohibit other things for yourself? Ubichlal hazeh elu shemisan in tamid einan b'derech tova. The Rambam then specifies, included in this are people who are constantly fasting, and that's not good. V'asru chachamim sheyehada misageif atzmo b'tainis. The chachamim prohibited a person from torturing themselves with fasting, afflicting themselves with ta'anios. V'alkol ha'devorim ho'elu kiyotzei bohen, tzivu shlomo. Shlomo ha'melech has an instruction for us regarding this whole way of thinking. And he says, v'amar, al tehi tzadik harbe. Don't be too much of a tzadik. Just be a tzadik. Not too much of a tzadik. V'al tischakem yoser. Don't become too smart. we think that we're smarter than the Torah, smarter than the Chachamim. They said this is not allowed. We're going to say, well, we're going to say this is not allowed. Don't be so smart. Lama tishomeim, why should you be desolate? Why should you make yourself desolate? That you're deprived of many, many nice permitted things that we have in the world to enjoy. You probably heard the story. It's a famous story about Rav Shamshon Rafael Hirsch, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. When he was older in his life, he took a trip to see the Alps. And someone asked him, Rav Hirsch, why do you go see the Alps? Why'd you take the trouble to do that? He said, when I get to Shemayim, Hashem's going to say to me, Shamshula, did you see my Alps? So I want to answer yes. I want to say yes, Ribbono Shel'olam, I saw your Alps. There's so many beautiful things in the world to enjoy. Why do we have to prohibit things from ourselves? That's what the Rambam is saying. Work on that which the Chachamim and the Torah itself told us. Don't go there. Don't do that. Otherwise, you know, enjoy the world. Enjoy yourself. Any comments or questions? Please, Dori.
Well, what would the Rambam do people who put on extra kumbhas? I'm sure they do it, you know,
it's a very good question. Dori's asking, very relevant, certainly to us and to our times. How about people who are taking upon themselves extra chumras? It could fall into this category. You're going to find an opinion that you're not allowed to do that. You'll find it out there. But 99% of the poskim say that you can do that. So why are we looking for that one posek who says, don't do that? Unless he's your posek. And when you have a Rav and a posek and you ask him a shailas, if he is a responsible posek, then sometimes he's going to be machmir and sometimes he's going to be mekel and sometimes he'll be in the middle. That's what psak halacha and hora'ah is. So you have a posek and he says you should be machmir here. Okay, that's one thing. He says you should be mekel. That's another thing. Fine. That's your Rav. But if a person is seeking out ways to be machmir and extra stringent, in my opinion, that's what the Rambam's talking about. You'll find the source for it, but it has no place really in the context of our own life. Second thing, Dora mentioned this point. It has to be coming from Yirat Shamayim. That if a person has a sense of Yirat Shamayim, they want to be a little more careful because they have that Yirat Shamayim. Okay. But another thing, Rabbi Twersky, that's all I used to say, is don't confuse bad nerves with Yirat Shamayim. He says, neurosis, being neurotic, is not Yirat Shamayim. Maybe that's usher, maybe that's usher, maybe this is usher. That's not Yirat Shamayim. That's just neurotic behavior. So Yirat Shamayim is a sense of Hashem is in my life. This is how I want to lead my life. I'm concerned in a proper way with Hadracha that maybe I should take on that Chumrah. So ask a Shaila and see, is that an appropriate Chumrah? Don't just dive in. Get to ask Torah on that. A person who knows and can look at you and say, no, no, that's too much. No need for that. Or, yeah, that's a good chumrah. Chumras have a place in Yiddishkeit. It's just that they're not meant to be placed everywhere. That's not how we live the Torah life. So, Dori, that's how I see it. And one could lead into what the Rambam is cautioning us about here if they're not careful about the chumras in their life. You read about certain tzaddikim, right, who take on many, many chumras. Okay, those are people with phenomenal Yirat Shamayim, you know, and they're concerned about every little detail of their life, not because that they have neurosis. They mamish are watching every single thing that they do. So that's a different madrega of a person, and they're healthy, good people. If you met Rav Steinman, Zatzal, when he was here in Baltimore, you looked at a happy person. People talk about Rav Steinman and his simple living, which he did. You can see a picture of his apartment. There's nothing. And he barely ate. It's known. He barely ate. And you look at this person and his shining face. He's not walking around like Oy Vey, you know. Another day where I can't eat too much, you know. Another chumrah. He's a beautiful demeanor and countenance. So in that kind of a person with genuine Yirat Shamayim, and it doesn't affect the way that he's relating to other people, which he was all the time, So that's beautiful. But for many people, it just takes them down and it makes them think bad things about themselves. They have to do more and more prohibitions. They start to become rude to people because they're miserable themselves. So all these things, it's not the Derech HaTov V'HaYashur. Any other comments? Go, please.
I'm trying to put the question together, but I'm wondering if there's a guideline you could suggest for how much leisure and pleasure time we're also busy, and sometimes I feel guilty. So we want to be enjoying Hashem's world and taking care of ourselves, but isn't that question?
Yeah, it's a great question. I don't have a general guideline because I think it really depends on each and every person and how much leisure or pleasure is in their life and how much is not. That's so much of an individual judgment. But just going back to balance, make sure that it is in your life and that you have just pleasant time that you spend with your family. Just fun time. Go out and have a picnic and go for a little vacation if you can. Just do things that bring that kind of pleasure, because we live a very high-pressure life. We all feel it. And you see people raising families living under tremendous pressure financially, time-wise, and everybody's working, the husband, the wife. It's a hard life. Just to send your kids to school to pay tuition. So wherever you have the ability to go out and enjoy yourself with your kids, like Matova Manoim. I think really more so the emphasis in our time is that we don't do enough of that. At the same time, and it's almost the stira, people waste a lot of time because of the phones. We're wasting time on the phones. We have to check the news again, even though we did it already 3 times that day, you know. To check it again, I do this myself. I want to see what's happening. So one thing is wasting time, and there are all kinds of ways to waste time in the world. The other thing is leisure time, enjoying yourself. Leisure time is not wasted time. That's very productive, good family fun. It's great. I think if we could reduce our wasted time, we probably would find we have more time for the things that are a little nicer. I think we, no matter how busy we are, I think that we waste time by doing things that don't, devorim shoma bekach, things that are not really of significance. I'm speaking to myself. I look at my own day, and I see, you know, I spent 10 minutes over there that really wasn't necessary. I probably could have put that somewhere else in a better, and spent those 10 minutes better. So leisure time is one thing, good, productive, helpful, nice. Wasted time, that's another thing. And I think what we do sometimes is that we make the excuse that our wasted time is our leisure time. I'm doing this to relax. I'm doing this to relax. Sometimes that's true, sometimes it's not true. We have to take a look at ourselves and see if it's true or not.
Watching the news is not relaxing.
Reading the news is not relaxing, right? Every time I have the same conclusion. They said that about Israel? I'm already like, you know.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. That's always how I finish that, doesn't it? They said that? I know that already, right? I don't have to do that 5 times a day. Any other questions, comments? Okay, let's see one more. Do you ever hold it? Yeah, we have time for one more. Base. No, but you see here from the Rambam, what we really gather from the Rambam here is a healthy lifestyle, healthy, balanced, emotional, physical lifestyle. It comes out in all of his writings that are like this. Over here and in Shmona Prakim, this very healthy approach to Torah life. It's very beautiful. Tzoricha adam sheyechavein libo v'chol ma'asav kula leida es Hashem baruchu bilvad. A person should try. I'm sorry, rather, I mistranslated. A person must. Tzarich. Must evaluate, must direct their heart and all the things that they're doing to know Hashem and to do that only. So here the Rambam has just gone from a perfectly balanced person, well-balanced person, And the goal of that is to know Hashem in everything that you're doing. V'yihiyah shivto v'kumo v'diburo hakol le'umas zeh hadover. And when we sit down, and when we stand up, and when we speak, that's meant to include a big swath of our life, sitting, standing, and speaking. It's all toward this goal of getting to know Hashem. Ketzad. So how do you do this? Kisha yisa v'yitei no yasa melocha litol schar. If a person's doing business, or they're doing labor in order to receive payment. Lo yihiyah b'libo likbots mamon bilvad. We should not hold it in our heart that we're simply trying to gather wealth. But rather to work so we can get money in order to buy things that the body needs. We have to eat, we have to drink. That's good. And live in a house. And marry a wife. Good, healthy life. So if we're after the job in order to get the money, the Rambam says, no, that's not the right kavana. That's a sub-kavana. It's in order to get the money, in order to do something positive, Torahdik, getting to know Hashem better with that money. So isn't that amazing? What's getting to know Hashem better in this context? Having food, having a nice house, trying to have a spouse, trying to get married, being married. So that's getting to know Hashem. The Rambam did not say, although he'll say it later, do this in order to do Torah and mitzvos only. That's part of it, a major part of it. Gather wealth in order to learn Torah and do mitzvos. But what the Rambam starts off with is gather wealth in order to eat and to drink and to have a nice house and to have a nice family. So that means that's part of Avodas Hashem. V'chein, likewise, kisha yochal v'yishteh v'yivol, when a person eats and drinks or has marital relations, lo yasim b'libo la'asos devorim ho'elu kidei lehenos bilvad. A person should not do this for the sake of enjoyment only. Notice he says, only. That you should do that for enjoyment. But not only for enjoyment. Because that person will only eat and drink and have relations simply for enjoyment only. There are higher things than that. There's eating and drinking in order to have energy and to be strong to serve Hashem. There's marital relations in order to build intimacy with your spouse. So the pleasure part of that is certainly a major component of it, but it's not the ultimate goal. It leads us to the ultimate goal. Ella, but rather, yosim al libo sheyochal v'yishteh kidei lahavros gufo ve'ivor bilvad. Person can be eating and drinking in order to be healthy. Lahavros, like the word bari. To be healthy in your body. Lefichach lo yochal kol shehachech misaveh kikela v'chamor. Don't eat everything that tastes good. In other words, don't eat it just because it tastes good, because that's like a kelav and a chamor. That's like a dog and a donkey, that they're only eating because it tastes good. Elo yochal, but rather eat, devorim hamo'ilim leguf, things that are healthy and that help your body. Imorim imetukim, whether they're bitter or whether they're sweet. If you need to taste something that's bitter because it's good for you, so you got to do it. If it's sweet, well, don't not eat it because it's sweet. I don't eat sweet things, right? Eat it, enjoy it, but know that it's in order to serve Hashem. V'lo yochal devorim haroim leguf, af al pi shehein metukim lechech. This should be self-evident. One should not eat things that are harmful for the body, even though they taste good. Candy. Candy has many versions in life, right? The children candy, the adult candy, it's all the same milchama. Ketzad mishohaya besaro chan. Now the Rama is going to give us a little medical advice here for people who are looking for what is he talking about? If your flesh is hot, Lo yolcha boser v'lo devash v'lo yishtayayim. Don't eat meat, don't drink, don't eat honey, and don't drink wine. Now, it sounds like your flesh is hot. He may be talking about a fever, but I'm not sure because he has another word later that he uses for a fever. So I'm not quite sure if that's what he means. And whether it is or whether it's not, whatever state that is, then wine and meat and honey are not good for that person in that state. Yeah, so I'm not sure. I'm just a little hesitant to say because sometimes he uses a different word for fever. But I think that's what he means. Yeah. Kinyan Shomar Shlomo Derech Mashal Echol Davash, etc. As Shlomo HaMelech says, I'm sorry, I don't know the end of that pasuk because I can't fill it in for you. V'shosa mei ha'olshi nafal pi shehumar. Olshin, some kind of an herb. Even though it's bitter, it's good for you. Shenemar shosel v'ochel, sorry, did I skip a line? Yeah, shenimsa, shosel v'ochel derech refuah b'vad, k'dei sheyariv v'ya'amod sholem. So you'd be eating or drinking these things, even though they don't taste good, because they help you be healthy. Ho v'ef shar l'adam lihiyos, ela v'achila shesia. Person can only live by eating and drinking, so therefore try and do that in a healthy way. Similarly, he says, marital relations, you should do that in order to be good for your body. That's a healthy thing to do, unless it's in excess. Of course, you want to reproduce and have children. But of course, there's a certain time in one's life where that's not the case anymore. One should not have marital relations simply because they enjoy it, and only for that reason. This is talking about a man right now. When a man knows that he has to emit semen, like his body is in that state, he knows that. And that's healthy for him. Or in order to reproduce and have children. And of course, I want to add to that, the Rambam doesn't say it here, but certainly it's Forum HaKadosh, and my Rebbe used to talk about it, which I mentioned earlier, about creating intimacy and closeness between husband and wife. That relations are about that. They create that binding between two people who love each other greatly, and that's a big part of the Kedusha in marital relations. If it's only about desire and achieving one's desire and satisfying one's desire, that becomes a very self-centered, self-involved kind of relationship physically, and it's also not healthy. If you're thinking about the other person, I'm thinking about closeness and building that, that's Kedusha in that very beautiful part of a marriage relationship. Okay, any comments or thoughts on this part? Okay, Yashar Koach. Afreilich and Chanukah to everybody, Lichtig Chanukah, and hopefully we'll see you next week. Have a great week.
Thank you. 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 Thank you.